back. You are listening to WJRH.
Hey.
104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. Sorry about that. We had a little hiccup.
I'm going to turn those other mics off.
Yeah. that was my bad.
Kev, what are you doing, big guy?
Yeah, it's been a rough day.
It has been.
I'm going to go ahead and lower myself here. But
can you scoot the headset volume up a little bit, or is it super loud for you?
No, I'm all right.
There we go.
All right. Welcome back to Mocha Gumbo. This week's episode is called Incompetence.
It's literally named Kevin's Fallacy. So
nice.
And then the description is just in which Kevin completely ruins the show once again.
I haven't had that much dead air on radio since freshman year when I first opened up. So I'm clearly on a downswing in my career. So it is a beautiful Monday pre-evening, and that's the problem because I'm still adjusting to I usually set an alarm for all of my weekly engagements, and this one I did not have set yet.
That makes sense. You just, you know, didn't find it important enough to put on.
Yeah,
no, I'll be honest. I actually did forget about this as well until I checked my calendar, because I set it for last week, but I forgot to do the thing where you set it for every week.
Yeah, well, you know, exactly.
On the Google Calendar.
No, exactly. I did the same thing. When I hit alarm clock, it just gives me the one day, like that specific day of that month, and then after that it disappears.
Yeah.
So I forgot to do the recurring. But I'm here, and we still have, we got 50 minutes, so people don't have to listen to
us. Are we playing music right now?
We are, it's just really low. Also, my phone is at 1% to add to the list of things that are going wrong.
With you, yeah.
Yeah, so,
during the break, I can get a portable charger. Would you like me to switch to coffee table?
Yes, please. That'd be wonderful.
Of course you would have to do everything. Anyway. No, I kid. It's been a very stressful week already.
Yeah. Day and a half, maybe? I got a little whiplash this weekend. One, because I went to Atlantic City.
Okay.
So it was very hectic.
Again?
We did a lot of things.
How many times have you been to AC recently? You can swap
whatever,
by the way.
Recently. Well, because the problem is all of my friends were turning 21 in sequence. So one person turned 21. We were like, all right, go to AC, all of us. Next person turned 21. They're like, wait, but we didn't go for my birthday. So we're like, oh, jeez. And the problem also is I personally didn't do too poorly at the roulette table. So I had money to go again.
roulette is too out of my jurisdiction for me to be comfortable playing.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the simplest table game you can play.
Well, I mean, like, I don't feel like I have any real say in where the ball lands, etc., right? Because you don't.
You don't, no.
So when I went to the Sands recently with my grandparents, first of all, my grandmother is the best gambler I've ever met in my entire life.
The best gambler.
She is. She sits down at one slot machine for 6 hours.
Oh, wow.
And I come back, she's up $400. I'm like, what are you doing, Grandma? And it's all on their credit, too.
Yeah.
Because she spends so much, she goes so often.
They give you free play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And she just makes bank off of the free play. So she's playing on credit. Like, yeah. It's very much cheesing the system. So I played blackjack.
Oh, really?
And blackjack is not a game for idiots.
Well, people get very mad at the table if you come and you don't know what you're doing. They'll get very frustrated. If you've got other people at the table when you walk up, you know, you'll piss off four or five pros who know what they're doing.
They have a really unique way of doing it now. So basically they have the dealers in the center. So the dealers are in this table, or there's a blue table and a green table, at least at the Sands, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can play at the table itself in a different section where people are playing the table games, or you can do what I did was they're at the table, and then there's these little semicircles of seats that come outward from the table.
Oh yeah, it's virtual blackjack.
Yeah, so they're dealing, and you can see the cards on the screen, and then everyone has the same number. Everyone has the same cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just basically bet on whether or not your whole team, if you will,
right,
is going to bust or not.
And that's good practice too, because one of the most difficult games I think to learn is craps. There is so much
craps
going on. Craps. And so when I first went to a casino like 2-3 years ago, I just did virtual. It's so much easier because if you make a mistake, you're not screwing anybody over.
Yeah.
And if you take a long time to make your bet, you know, no nobody's one's yelling care. At you. Yeah, because it's all just personal. You're playing your own personal craps game. And I did that with roulette too. And that, but roulette is fun. It's one of those really communal things because there's no real way to screw anybody over.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You just pick a number in time.
Yeah, you pick a number. Well, yeah, you throw. All you have to do is throw chips on a general part of the board, and then step back and let you know nobody's taking control. Nobody has to do anything. It's very mindless, and I like it. And also, I've only played 3 times, and I've done fairly well each time.
Okay,
which was the problem and why I kept going over the summer. But we we did that, and we went this weekend. I got my LSAT scores back, which was more whiplash. Overwhelmingly average.
I mean, that's not bad.
Yeah, so. It's not bad. But it was still just—it's just so much happening. So I, on top of being late, I am thoroughly tired.
That's fair. No, I completely understand.
Yeah, and we'll get this down as this becomes a routine. I've been this is another thing. This is another problem. I dropped coffee today.
Really?
Trying to keep, and I'm going a little crazy. I'm getting a little stir crazy. I'm switching to tea.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you meant dropping caffeine.
No.
Like, there's no way you're doing
No. It's going down to a significantly less, lower amount, which, because I'm...
Tea has about the same amount of caffeine as coffee. You know that, right?
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Not the tea I drink. Black tea, like Earl Grey black. Yes. But I don't drink Earl Grey black.
Oh.
I drink, like, what are you orange, drinking? Whatever this
oh my
the
God.
Stuff my roommate has.
You're horrific.
But
you're a farce.
But
you know
even
that?
But it also depends on the strength because it's per a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, if I brew my coffee strong, and I usually do, it's a lot of caffeine.
Darker coffees are usually less caffeinated. That's why you want to get light roast in the morning.
No, but I'm saying I put a lot of grinds in for a small amount of water.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah, not like you. I don't mean dark roast.
Gotcha.
But you know that. It's a shock of energy, and I.
What do you
I'm
use? French press
it.
Or
just a coffee pot. Typically, when I'm at school, it's a little less. But when I'm home, I just you know put a ton of spoonfuls in for two cups of coffee. But you know it's I'm just tired of that. The energy coffee gives me is useless energy.
Mm-hmm.
I just get hyper. That's only good for like physical labor.
Yeah, it makes you fidgety.
And when I can't read or do anything, any high sort of thinking when I'm that fidgety. I can only do it with a certain amount of chill.
Mm.
And coffee makes me not chill.
I mean,
chill.
Like, look at me right now. I'm like freaking out.
Yeah.
You can see my body language.
It's just, like, it's, I like it in the morning because it really forces me to get my day going.
Mm.
But I'd rather just have longer, harder sleep and wake up earlier than have to use it because I get anxious when I have too much coffee.
Yeah, I could see that. I think sleep really is the best way to be awake in the morning is getting up at a good time and going to bed at a good time and going to bed and getting up at a consistent time. Because when I was doing work, I would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'd be fully awake because you get into that routine.
Mm-hmm.
But college is so much more dynamic than being in an office place.
Yeah, schedules fluctuate. One day you can have totally free, the next day you could be absolutely swamped.
Mm.
And
then you factor in work and your extracurriculars and all like that, and then you can't find, unless you actively try, which I think I should be doing at this point, but you need to really kind of carve out that sleep schedule.
Well, and maybe we can hold each other to this, because I recently, one of my new things, one of my resolutions is to have a consistent and reasonable sleep schedule. Because I can find myself very frequently needlessly staying up to, like, I could easily go to bed at 11.
Yeah.
Needlessly staying up till 1:30.
Yep.
For no good reason. Like, I'll be playing a game, and I'll be like, oh, this is awesome. And then 40 minutes go by, and I'm like, oh, just one more.
Mm.
40 minutes go by, like, all right, well, oh, it's already practically 2.
Yeah, you might as like well just go at 2, right?
Yeah. So I really would like to. If I could do it just for a couple weeks, or just for 2 weeks, I would get into it. But it would be so nice. You know how nice mornings are?
They
when
are,
you're not pissed off?
Do you know how much more fulfilled as a human being you feel when you wake up before 9 o'clock?
And I mean, if you start your... I don't know about you, but my work is a lot more thorough at 9 o'clock. I stick to it. I get a little more concentration.
Don't know about that, but I could see where you're coming from.
Well, it depends. I'm not saying you wake up at 9. or you wake up at 8, you start working at 9. If you wake up at 7:30 and give yourself a good hour and a half to just kind of chill and then start working, for me personally, I can, there's less going on in the morning.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like, in the afternoon, people are walking by, you know, my phone's going off. If you get up early enough, you're beating that rat, that rush.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of just focus and not have to worry about anyone contacting you or anything like that. So, I'm gonna try
this
week.
Don't worry about that anyway. You know.
Aww.
Message me at 908-448-8659. That's my real phone number.
Is that your actual number?
That's my actual phone number.
Dude, you don't know who's listening.
Well, I mean,
I'm always worried there's gonna be that one errant, you know, nut job.
I mean, if they're listening to our radio show, they probably are an errant nut job. So those of you listening right now, please text me at that. I mean, I said it pretty quickly also.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we also, you can listen to back episodes of Mocha Gumbo on WJR.
Yeah, so that, now that's out there forever.
So I will update the crowd. I will update the one person listening next week as to if I've gotten my sleep schedule in order and if I've stuck to my tea routine. That way, there's a little bit of accountability, because if I tell me I'm going to do it, I'm not doing it.
Well, you're going to be telling me, too.
Yeah, so you can kind of shame me if I don't, which I would appreciate.
I need to start eating. I haven't had a meal today.
Is that a regular habit for you?
I had a Nature Valley bar at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I had two handfuls of pretzels at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, those aren't meals.
No, I've been living off of a strict diet of caffeine and stress and Adderall.
And things you feed to squirrels.
effectively. Like, it's just very...
Now, just to clarify, that's medicinal Adderall?
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
I'm not just railing Addy in my bathroom.
I just want to let the viewers know.
At 8 in the morning, just... Yeah, no, that's not something I do.
I just like the image of you popping that, you know, shotgunning a 12-ounce coffee and then eating, screaming.
Just like, ah!
And then eating, just bit by bit, a Nature Valley bar, like rapid fire.
Yeah. Like a squirrel would.
And then you just dart out the door.
Like only my front four teeth. Just nibble.
Oh, man.
But yeah, because all of those things. So some people are stress eaters, and I'm a stress non-eater. And
really?
Then you can, yeah, I don't eat when I'm stressed. I have to focus on what I'm stressed about, right? So combine that with the coffee and the Adderall, which are both appetite suppressants, and I just genuinely eat less than 1,000 calories some days.
Huh.
And it happens more on Wednesdays where I'll have class 9 to 4, and then I have a meeting 4 to 5, and then I have a meeting 5 to 6, and then, you know.
Thank God we didn't have our show on Wednesday.
I know. Now I had class from 9 to 12. And then I had a meeting at 2:45, but I was working during that time. And then after the meeting, I came here and did work until you came here late, I might add.
Nice.
No.
Shade.
And then after this, I have to work on a group project, and then I have another presentation to go to at 8 o'clock, and that'll last until 9:30. So, or 7 to 8:30, and then I'm probably just gonna do work. But I need to carve out. Much like you have to carve out your sleep schedule, I need to carve out time for me to eat.
Yeah.
Which is arguably more important, not to diminish anything you're trying to do, but I feel like
you should probably eat.
Yeah, I feel like not sustaining, like literally sustaining my body physically is probably
not
a bad
habit
to get into.
I've just recently started dawning on me. I just wondered how much useless, just the micro losses. You know what I mean? There are just little things you do throughout the day. 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 5 minutes here.
Oh, that make you lose time?
A ton.
Oh, yeah.
A ton. Even 100%. if you go on your phone for 5 minutes, it usually ends up turning into 10 or 15.
Or 6 hours, yeah.
Yeah. Or if you open up a tab, you're like, oh, I've been reading for a while. I'm going to open up this tab. What made me have this realization is I had to do a media blackout. And if you've never done this... It's a cool thought experiment. It's a cool sociological experiment. Don't use media. I had to do it for a journalism class. You know, we're trying to learn about the reasons for consumption. You know, a little personal experience to add to that. Don't consume media for 24 hours.
Yikes.
It's incredible where the mind goes. I don't know about you, but try to keep track It's hard to because it's so subconscious, but the amount of times I reached for my phone out of, for no particular reason, just like a stress impulse or like a, oh, I just feed me entertainment impulse. I need stimulus. I would just reach for my phone and it was off and I couldn't use it. After a while, the only stimulus I really had was what I was reading. I was like, well, I might as well get this done because there's nothing else going on. I can't talk to anybody else. I really can't contact the outside world. So I just have to do this now. And it's crazy. And so now I'm wondering, because it was a very efficient day for me. If I cut that off, if I cut my media consumption by 50%, what will my day become? You know?
Yeah.
It's just an interesting thought.
If you cut your media consumption by 15%, you'd probably be a lot more productive. Oh, yeah.
You'd probably... I don't know what the effects of media are on the brain. I'm pretty sure they're traumatizing. I'm no, you know, biochemist or neuroscientologist, but Scientology. Neuroscientist. You can tell I've quit coffee. I have a feeling it's a little bit detrimental.
Definitely.
And I just wonder what it would look like and how we would feel. And I felt great after 24 hours not having anything. I felt I was paying more attention to just things, just my day in general. I was way more mindful of what was happening. I don't know, it's just cool. So I'm gonna try to. I've got a lot of after that experience. There's like a bunch of personal projects I want to get working on. Just stop me if I ever become one of those people that buy incense and vitamin D tablets. I don't want to be super healthy. I'll hold you accountable to that too. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, at least with me, as a computer science major, I have to kind of consume technology as a part of what I'm working on, right?
Well, sure, but that could be separate from just from media. Useless consumption.
So you're saying just cut out any kind of distractions?
Media as in literally anything that will, you know,
will distract you,
transmit. A certain kind of information. So like in the case of a video game or, you know, a news app, it's transferring, I don't know, I would just call it auxiliary information. It has nothing to do with your immediate needs or requirements.
That's fair.
Or tasks. It's just so cool. I don't know, I would give it a shot for one day. It was
I don't know,
cool.
I don't think I could, at least communicating with others, I have a lot, again, I have a lot of meetings. Well,
there were exceptions.
Yeah.
We did have... Work related phone calls and texts were the exceptions. Aside from that, that was pretty much it. Now I would stop at like my hard line would be non work related texts and, you know, it would actually communicating with people for things outside of educating myself and feeding myself. I would, you know, that's a reasonable advancement.
I think
that
so.
I would keep. But. And because sometimes it's important, but just there's so much stuff that doesn't need to happen in your day-to-day life, especially news consumption. My God.
Oh, yeah.
Just so much useless, dark. It just paints your day with a sheen of depression. When you're like, oh, three kids died in a trolley accident this morning. Awesome.
Yeah.
And then you're just supposed to go about your day.
All right.
Time to keep on rolling.
Time to absorb that and completely internalize it for the rest of the day. Yeah. It's horrible. Horrific stuff.
Yeah. I argued... Now, the term that some would use is, I believe it's Luddite or
Luddite.
Neotechnophobe, but...
Wow.
Yeah.
That's...
Those are some words I
hate
found.
That.
Yeah. But there's... I was... we were talking about... This is during the media deprivation. I was going crazy, and I was trying to distract myself by any means necessary. And I was talking to my roommates, and we were just talking about... You know, quote, deep questions. We were just asking big questions because I was bored and I knew I was losing my mind. Just like, oh, what's your biggest fear? Oh, what's your whatever?
Okay. So introspective ones. Though.
Yeah, just whatever. We were just trying to get conversation going. And I was like, oh, what's your most unpopular opinion? And we were going around the room. They were
That's
saying
interesting.
Theirs. It's a cool question. And I was like,
what's yours?
This is what I said. And I phrased it poorly. And he did not take kindly to it because he's an electrical engineer.
Okay.
I said, I think there should be hard limits placed on technological advancement.
Wow.
And he was like, dude, what?
That's actually fascinating.
What I meant was, I didn't mean something as hardline as that. What I really meant was, I think people should be more introspective and analytical about the, because my worry is that the idea that progress is just inherently awesome is, it's a platitude. You know, people just hear that and go, oh yeah, sure. It's like God bless America. You know, like there's no thought to it. It's just internal.
Yeah.
And it, you're just reared on the thought of, you know, progress. Yes.
Well, awesome. There's also the idea of, I think at least, and I see myself doing this a lot also, is we take what we have for granted a lot. The how easy, for the most part, life is right now.
Right.
Or at least how easy communication and how easy getting news and being informed and stuff is. And when those things are taken away from us, it's awful.
Yeah.
Right? It's really interesting to see, because I'll walk into my house and not get a Wi-Fi connection, and I'll freak out.
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah, I'm instantly turned off from so many things that I'm very constantly aware of, you know what I mean? So yeah. So I won't be able to communicate with people or view news or anything like that, and that's not something that a lot of people actually have.
Right.
Well, which is really interesting to me.
The thought experiment that really got me thinking about it was, I was reading something called, and apparently this is an information hazard, so I'm supposed to warn people about it.
Okay.
But there's a site called Less Wrong. It's a rational wiki, so it's all about logic and rationality, systems of logic and rationality and thought experiments. And one of them was called Rocco's Basilisk. I don't know if you've ever heard of this.
I've never heard of that.
But it's an idea that it's called the basilisk, just like the mythological figure. If you see it, you turn to stone or you die.
You promise?
If you heard... Please?
Where can I find it?
And at that moment, James dedicated the rest of his life to finding the basilisk.
That's funny nowadays.
But if you hear about the thought experiment, you're doomed by the thought experiment, is basically the idea.
Okay.
But regardless of what the experiment was, the idea was that any super intelligence, any supercomputer would be malevolent. That was the conclusion.
I could see that.
So at that point, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, everyone talks about, you know, about the singularity and just the eventual...
Skynet.
Yeah, you know, where human beings are suboptimal. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, well, everyone seems to be talking about the singularity like it's just an unavoidable truth. Does anyone... can we talk about maybe slowing down and not doing
this? Did you see that interview with Elon Musk where he was like, I tried to tell people to slow down with AI, but they're just not.
Really?
And it was so funny because someone put like some movie trailer music behind it, and he's like, I told them to stop. They just kept going, kept innovating. Like, it was
sound
so
like
funny.
That was a good Elon Musk impression.
Thank you. It was it was so funny just to hear him say that.
Well,
at least in that context, you know.
But it kind of makes sense. But that was where, you know, this sort of came from. And I, the look on his face when I said it as strongly as I did, which is not what I meant, because clearly innovation is wonderful. Like, for most of human history, innovation has been pretty cool. And just generally improve quality of life. But I worry that
we are getting to Skynet.
That's not a curve that goes exponentially up. That there might be a dip in it somewhere.
I think a lot of people are thinking that we're reaching the peak of technological innovation now, or around now. Because once you get to a certain point, processors and stuff like that, I'm not really up to date on hardware. I'm not sure. I don't know a lot about that, but there comes to be a point where things just you can't make computers process more powerfully or faster, because it will, the physical limits of these chips and all that will eventually be reached.
Right. You need like sub-zero or absolute zero temperatures or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Stuff like that. And the only logical step, at least in my opinion, and I don't have much of a large opinion on this, is quantum. But that word gets thrown around like, oh, quantum physics, like, I watch Rick and Morty, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So, but quantum really is the upper limit and where we can go further as a species. But once that happens, you get a quantum computer, you first of all, you break every form of encryption ever. Okay. So that's why in my cryptography class, we were actually learning about quantum level cryptological algorithms just in case we ever get to that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is fascinating, because this is theory about theory, which is so meta,
Yeah.
Also, I hated all of it, but it was fascinating. It was genuinely very interesting to me that we even had to conceptualize something that might not ever happen.
Right.
But we have fail-safes in place for the event in which all of our current forms of encryption and, you know, et cetera, are broken, which is very, I think it's reassuring.
Sure.
But the idea that something that powerful could just instantly, you know,
yeah,
you're donezo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the fear. It would just be, I already feel the effects of you hear about information overload.
Hmm.
It's just hyper-stimulation. I don't like it. I want less. I mean, there's union members and laborers who want to be compensated for the amount of time they have to spend outside of work on email or on...
I could actually see that.
Because it's taxing. Mm-hmm. It really is a certain amount of labor. You are sacrificing personal time.
Yeah, it bleeds into your personal life without really... It's not encroaching enough to where it's a huge problem, but it is a definite annoyance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and people want to be compensated, which means that they are frustrated with the fact that a certain amount of what used to be like technological poise, you could just kind of chill and own technology and get to use it at will. Now it's opposite. It is encroachment. It is
a chore.
Bleeding. It is something that attaches to you.
Mm.
You don't attach yourself to it.
Yes.
And people are frustrated with that. So I don't think it's the most radical suggestion in the world. Not to say, all right, technology is awful. Innovation is terrible. Let's stop. But to promote a certain amount of caution and mindfulness about the state of things. Because if your mantra is just always progress, thumbs up.
Mm.
you'll never see the flaws in, you know, something like super intelligence.
Yeah, because as technology improves, I think we become more dependent on technology, right? Because everything gets automated.
Mm-hmm.
And why even do things on your own or manually anymore if something can just do it more easily?
Right, and it takes away from... There's satisfaction in physical labor. There's a certain...
There is.
There, yeah. Some of the happiest, like the happiness index, I think it's conducted by Pew or Gallup, but they surveyed the happiest people, and apparently the happiest profession is farmer. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's because of their locale or because of purpose, but there's a lot of physical labor involved in that. And I think there's just this sense of creation.
I think
of just of raw power and will creating something, feeding people. If we get to the point of just a universal minimum wage, I feel like a lot's going to be lost.
I feel like a lot of why people with, you know, agricultural jobs and all are a lot happier is also because they not necessarily expect less, but they need less to conduct their day-to-day lives.
Right.
Right. You see people in third world countries or in these small tribes in the forests or whatever, right? And they're living perfectly fine, and they love their lives for the most part, I would assume. Because I took an anthropology course last semester that dealt with tribes on small islands, stuff like that, which is fascinating because the quality of life is pretty high, at least to them. But we view them as, you know, like savages, to speak in white European
colonial terms.
Yeah, anthropological terms from the 1800s. And we don't see that their lives are good for them.
Yeah.
Right? We like, how can we improve them by using X or Y or Z? But they don't need to be improved, because improvement is honestly very subjective, right?
Sure. Everything's relative. And it's like when people, it's the same principle when you ask someone who's, you know, disabled from a young age, maybe blind or something, how could you possibly live like that? What do you mean?
Yeah, it's like
this is life. What are you talking about? There's no loss in quality. For loss, there'd have to be a benchmark prior. The same thing for any sort of culture. You know, they don't need improvement. And yeah, probably the same. But what's funny is I wonder, and that argument can be extended to a lot of things. Because There are particularly unhappy people who have it all.
Yeah.
And probably because they have it all. With that lack of incentive and that lack of motivation, a lack of hunger is very terrifying.
There's no challenge to life.
Right. Now, too much hunger is horrible, but a total lack of it is also pretty bad.
Mm.
And yeah, it just makes life seem pointless. You know, not even if you're looking for general greater meaning, but just the immediacy of meaning. My immediate meaning in life is to feed myself, to do well on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, and that's the same argument. Is there? They might look next to another person to be superior or to really have everything the other man wants, but in isolation, things are terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
What time is it? We've gotten very deep today, I don't know if it's because my caffeine, the expunged caffeine is making me more deep.
I'm on a lot of caffeine right now, so...
Well, we have two total different ends. I'm, like, totally out of it, and you just have a lot of energy.
I haven't stopped moving since we started.
So I'm just spitballing here, and you're rolling with it.
Yeah. I think we're both bringing up decent points.
My brain is just starved right now for...
It's fair. For intellectual discussion.
For anything. I just need something. I need
to go to some music.
I need music. That's what I need. Good segue.
Yeah.
What do we got, James?
Well, first of all, we should probably do... you're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. You are listening to Mocha Gumbo, and I'm James.
And I'm Kevin.
We usually would have done this earlier because we started that. Like 6 minutes.
Did we not?
Well, we did when we started the
show. The mics were off.
But no, I mean, we did it when we started the show, but we usually play music by now. You know, it's late in the hour.
Right.
So let's go to some music. Do you have battery left?
Or
is
nope.
This just me? Okay, cool.
So, we're going to try to crossfade here, okay. Clumsily. What do we got, Jamesy?
We have a lot of explicit stuff here. Oof.
Nice.
We're going to do Birds of a Feather, We Rock Together by Volpeck.
Birds of a Feather, We Rock Together by Volpeck. And we will be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Stick around. Enjoy. We rock together. And if we got a problem, we talk together. So let's head down south, escape the bad weather. Ooh, 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 ooh. The rain came through my treetop and washed away so many things I couldn't learn till I went through. Things I didn't know till I met you. Now I'm learning the hard way. Learning the hard way. Learning the hard way to be true. Now I'm learning the hard way. Birds of a feather, we rock together. And if we got a problem, we talk together. Together. Oh, 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 yeah.
sun came to my treetop, and it shone so bright it lit up everything. Shone the light of something that was so true. And suddenly I knew I'm to have you. I'm learning the hard way. Learning the hard way. Learning the hard way to be true. And I'm learning the hard way. Birds of a feather, we rock together. We rock if we together. Got a problem, talk together. We talk together.
Embarrassing with them, wasn't I?
Like you.
You like me? Stop it. I'm missing you.
Oh, darling.
next this year? Or should I follow the click in my ear? Should I go for more clicks this year? Or should I follow the click in my ear? Should I go for more clicks this year? Or should I follow the click in my ear? Should I go for more clicks this year? Or should I follow the...
Welcome back. You are still listening to Mocha Gumbo, and I'm still Kevin.
And I'm still James.
And we are coming up to the top of the hour. Unfortunately, my phone is dead. So while we would usually treat you to our words of the day, I think it might have to be up to James. I don't know if you can do that with all the things you're juggling.
You carry.
I'm just riding.
I have to put this song in the background on too because it does have rights. The song in the background is "Pay the Man" by Foss of the People. I didn't want to put in coffee table jazz, and the song before that was "Overture" from the new, or relatively new, AJR album, The Click. Fantastic listen. So word of the day.
Now, we usually get two. There should be.
Word of the day for Merriam-Webster is manifesto.
Manifesto.
Good word.
Well, I think we both know what comes to mind when I say manifesto.
Yeah, the Communist Manifesto,
Communist,
of course.
Manifesto. Back to communism.
One of the...
We'll never escape.
Oh, no. It's full circle. I think this is the first mention of socialism or communism this semester.
Yeah.
But granted, we've only been on the air for 2 weeks, so.
Well, it's very telling of what's going on in our subconscious, because I think most of our show is about 50% banter, and 50% suppressing our outspoken ideals about the Communist Manifesto.
That's fair. So a manifesto, for those who don't know, is a written statement declaring publicly the intentions, motives, or views of its issuer. And our other word of the day from dictionary.com is. Nugacity.
Nugacity.
Triviality or insignificance, or something insignificant or inconsequential, a trifle.
Interesting. Can you say nugacious? Is that on there?
I don't think so.
Nugus? Nougat?
Nougat? Yeah, nougat. Nougat is trivial. You are indeed correct.
Wait.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just messing with you.
That would have been really cool if that was the synonym.
Nugacity.
Interesting. I like that one. Another one of those words that we can't really sneak in there. Every now and then we'll find a gem for you all that is a word you can get away with. It's got to be a certain amount of syllables, usually three or less.
Because you say nugacity or nugacity or something like that.
Yeah, nobody's buying it.
The conversation stops. And what the hell did you just say to me?
Exactly. There's certain words. I think I used the word exegesis before casually.
Yikes.
Tried to do that. It didn't work. There's things that are just showstoppers, and that's one of them. Nugacity is not going to fly. But if you're writing an essay right now and you need some help, that'll take up some space.
Yeah, that's not something you're going to find in the thesaurus.
Yeah.
Or, well, you might, but not not if you're... picking thesaurus on the Microsoft Word, you know?
That's a Microsoft Word doesn't they're kind of penny pinchers when it comes to the quality of their synonyms.
Yeah, it's not fantastic. The other word of the day, or there was another one. I just like, you know, I like to check all of them.
Sure.
From WordThink is alchemy.
Wait, all right, we're gonna have to go back and listen, but I think that was a word of the day 2 weeks ago.
I don't. Yeah, we could check it out. Well, 2 weeks ago, we didn't have a show.
3 weeks ago, then.
What do you mean?
1 week ago.
Yeah.
I am so out of it.
Yeah, I think
it's
you
incredible.
Might need caffeine.
Yeah, I'm gonna have tea. That should get me through till bedtime. But speaking of bedtime,
it's 4:57.
4:57. All right.
Yeah, you have to endure me for about 120 more seconds. So.
Okay. Do we have any? Do you want to talk about our feelings?
Let's just listen to these nice horns in the background. No, I'm kidding, of course. Going back to alchemy really quickly, I feel like alchemy is always one of those things. Again, when we were talking about fantasy video games or fantasy games in general last week. Alchemy is always one of those things where you look at it and you're like, oh man, that'd be so cool. But it's probably just a bunch of chemistry and it's probably really awful.
Well, did you ever watch Full Metal Alchemist?
Yeah, of course. I'm a weeb.
Yeah, that was
the word of the day is actually weeaboo. Weeaboo is someone who is typically a Caucasian male who is obsessed with Japanese culture.
Yeah.
Well, I'm half Caucasian, so I'm half weeb. Yeah. Well, half a weeaboo is a weeb, right? I guess.
I don't know if that's true. At least colloquially, in the nomenclature.
No, it's not.
But that's
weeb and weeaboo are interchangeable. Most people just say weeb nowadays, I believe.
I imagine alchemy. They don't make it look too fun in that show. You have to draw a circle, and you got to put a bunch of stuff in the circle. It's not like explosions.
You
got to
sacrifice some
unless you get
body
that one thing.
Something.
You can get like a gem or something that lets you do. I don't know. Yeah, alchemy isn't. The lesson of the day is alchemy is not as fun as you think it is. Kids, don't try it.
Yeah, and neither is chemistry.
You might end up with a dead mother and a steel hand.
Anyone who is thinking about being a chemist, don't. It's not fun. I'm in Gen Chem right now, and it sucks.
So, I think you just destroyed a generation of
all you wide-eyed,
promising
all
chemists.
You wide-eyed freshmen trying to become pre-med majors, yeah. No, it's not a good time. All right, so with that, why your major sucks.
With that, you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. Love to put our trademark on that last statement. And this has been Mocha Gumbo, and I'm Kevin.
And I'm James.
We'll see you next week. Enjoy stuff.